The first reading is from Luke 10 and starting at verse 25, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. The priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
So I've been asked to read Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus."
Morning. Especially morning to all those on Zoom, like you see on the screen. You may have noticed we've somewhat deviated away from the lectionary and traditional Advent themes to explore aspects of loving thy neighbour. But actually, in many ways, it's quite pertinent at this time of year and at this time now. The well-loved parable of the Good Samaritan can only be found in Luke's Gospel, where we have a young, potentially young expert in the Jewish law. Didn't actually say his age, but you just feel that you can just see a young upstart wanting to ask difficult questions, trying to catch Jesus out. "Now, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus rhetorically asks him, "How do you read it?" And the man quotes Deuteronomy and Leviticus, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." But when the expert asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" he possibly expected to be told the widow, the orphan, someone in your village, down the road there, or his tribe. But Jesus was really quite shocking. The person who showed care to the person who'd been seriously mugged on the road was a Samaritan. Now, the Jews regarded Samaritans as being virtually half-castes. They didn't like them. They detested them. But for us, protection comes quite naturally to all those who are parents. We teach our children how to range of skills, like how to cross the road safely. And if you're of a certain age, you'll remember slogans like, if you go out at night, remember to wear something white. Don't talk to strangers. And you will do your cycling proficiency test, won't you, at school? Protection in our churches has been substantially strengthened by safeguarding. And I've recently been on a, like Helen has as well, a quite a detailed safeguarding course. And one of the things that really brought home to me is what a fantastic job that Elizabeth Dance has done for us. And I don't think we honestly really appreciate how much good a job she's done or really adequately shown our appreciation. So Andrew, please take that back to Elizabeth. And, you know, it's the amount of documentation is really like a highway code for us. It sets out a range of processes and documents, and it's to safeguard ourselves as well, besides others. Now, to be honest, the key aim of the Church of England safeguarding policy was understandably to try and prevent some really repeat, some dreadful cases of sexual abuse. And the shamefully, the harm and impact on the abused has been severe. A key point of my talk this morning is that safeguarding is far more than about protecting children. And it's quite easy to look around here. All we can see this morning is Florence sitting there. And not realizing that loving our neighbor and safeguarding is far wider. It's also about protecting vulnerable adults. I'm afraid all of us at some time in our lives, if we're not already, will be a vulnerable adult. Secondly, that we all have a responsibility. It's not just down to the safeguarding officer, the PCC, the vicar. We have a response, all have a responsibility. Paul's letter to the Philippians provides clear instructions. If you have any comfort from Christ's love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any compassion, then make my joy complete by having the same love. You should look out to the interests of others. The third point is remember responsibility at all times and wherever we are. Now, it could be in the workplace, it could be the people we engage with or wherever. And we must not close our eyes like the priest and Levite on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, or our ears if we're going to be available to show love to our neighbour. The honest reality is at various times we will have contact with people who are being subjected to abuse. We may not openly know it. You're probably aware there are nine, you're probably unaware, there are nine categories of abuse besides sexual. You may barely know the person who is in need of their own Good Samaritan. You have physical abuse. I imagine you've all heard of the case, sad case of Arthur Lobinjo Hughes, who during the first lockdown suffered a series of unexplained injuries inflicted by his parents, and sadly was killed by them as well. Have emotional abuse, you know, it's persistent ill treatment causing damage to a person's well-being and personal development, such as undue criticism, making them feel of no value. I'm sure that one or two people who have been in teaching scenarios would have seen children who have had that from home, and how much has undermined their self-confidence. Financial abuse. I'm a trustee of quite a large almshouse group in Colchester, and we have a resident who is slightly simple. Unfortunately, he's been found by spongers, and we actually moved where he was living to a more secure spot, also covered by CCTV. And we told his sister, the police, social services and the police have been informed, but still they have found him, and he's met them at cash points. You know, it goes on, I'm afraid. Organisational. Unfortunately, there are a few, very poor care homes or and care workers who fail to care for those in need, sometimes due to inadequate staffing. I was told on the course that there was some vicar or clergy person somewhere who went into a care home to see somebody, and the place was so bad, he reported it to the Care Quality Association, and the place got closed down. It does happen. Discriminatory abuse is unwarranted behaviour based on a person's identity, such as race, sexuality, causing to be withdrawn. You know, quite recently we had the case we heard about at Yorkshire Cricket Club of Asim Rafiq. Self-neglect, the lack of self-care to such an extent that it threatens personal health and safety. But we have to be aware that occasionally there are some cases where it actually might be an acceptable personal lifestyle choice. Neglect. I had an aunt, Christine, who in her later years developed dementia. And it took a little while for the family to click on that she wasn't feeding herself properly or her husband Bill. But instead, the cat was getting the extra meals and was getting fatter. These things happen, I'm afraid. Domestic abuse. Now, this is a huge, largely hidden problem. And in large churches, there are likely to be some cases going on. There are probably cases going on in Mark's Tay, which we're not aware about. Maybe even down your actual road. It's about people, it's about power and control. And it can be quite extreme. Modern slavery. Joy loves to listen to the Archers, so I occasionally overhear it. But there's been a storyline been going for some time, which keeps coming back a bit, about a chap, a builder, who was undercutting his competitors because he had three unemployed homeless people who he was using and basically paying them virtually nothing. And later he sold them on. Sadly, many of these issues and problems are worse over the Christmas period, when there are heightened emotional pressures, and in trying to meet unreasonable expectations, often deepening existing financial worries. There's also, for a number of people, greater isolation. And with the current time of all the extra restrictions coming in, who can meet, who can travel, that sort of thing, that's got worse. The statistics reveal what a broken nation we are. I was shocked the other week to read in a newspaper article that there are 100,000 children in care. 100,000 children in care. And two women a week are murdered by their partner or ex-partner. In many instances, the only way to love our neighbour is for a concerning matter to be reported. Now, if you're uncertain, advice and guidance can be obtained if it's passed up through to the diocesan safeguarding team. However, on a point in the course, it dawned on me there are ways either for us to potentially prevent some of these abuse cases occurring or their severity. First thing we always do if we're worried about a situation or a family or whatever else is do not forget to pray. Secondly, be lovingly observant in what we see and hear. After all, many of us naturally keep an eye on our neighbour's house when they are away. If you have concerns, gently ask open questions. Listen to what is said and watch the body language. If you're still not certain about it, don't be afraid to ask another time. Often the helping key is forming a good relationship. In the words of Paul's letter, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. If we do that, retain a good listening ear, we'd like to be trusted or turn to for help. You know, often confidentiality in what we hear in situations like that is valuable as well, because if somebody thinks you're a busy, nosy body, you'll get nowhere. It might be just confirming that the person, that extra external care support is now required. For many elderly people, that's quite a big step to realise that they actually need help. It might be inviting that lonely person for a meal at Christmas time or taking a meal round. It might be noting that the elderly lady a few doors away has failed to draw open the curtains that morning. In another situation, it might, if appropriate, be offering to occasionally pick up a single mother's children from school. It might be standing up to those bullying someone. We know someone whose daughter, when she was about 12, had a brain tumour. And she took, it obviously affected her, and she's in her early 20s now. She took a fairly modest job at a garden centre, I think helping in the kitchen. But she got taunted and teased and mocked by some of the ladies there. May have been because of her slowness, but also it's because that she came from a well-off family and she was forced to leave. Standing up against the crowd might be costly to us. The Good Samaritan did not hold back and told the innkeeper to charge him more if need be. It might be in seeing a care worker not looking after your friend or relative properly. Speak to the person in charge. Whether in following and enforcing good safeguarding practices, or in the protection of others by looking for their interest, or in reaching out in loving care, not only to those we know, but also those we don't know, our attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, one of love, compassion, and tenderness, led by the Spirit. It's good to remember at this time of year, he is the bringer of hope, and we are his foot soldiers. So I want to close with a short prayer. Lord, open our eyes to those in need. Lord, increase our loving care for others, and may it point people to you. Amen.